Welcome to the Open House Podcast. Conversations exploring life, faith and hope with Stephen O'Doherty.
Well, what's our responsibility to the people who we put behind bars as a society, we deprive them of their freedom because of their transgressions against our agreed social norms and laws? Some of these prison inmates have committed heinous crimes, of course. There's no argument about that. There is an argument that we should lock them up and throw away the key and give them the barest level of care and comfort. What's our obligation to these people whom we are, yes, punishing, but hopefully also rehabilitating? As much as we hate the crime, do we have to hate the prisoner too? Isn't it indeed part of our own Christian walk to take a kinder view, to love the prisoner? I'm quite sure God has asked us to do that on many occasions if you read your Bible. Australian Catholic University Professor Ruth Webber has studied prisons in Australia and the United States, and she's the author of a study on Catholic prison ministry in Victoria. It was a review of that prison ministry, looking at its efficacy, its effectiveness. Her research found that chaplains, in fact, have a powerful impact in reducing violence and depression, and surprisingly, people without a religious faith helped by chaplains who do. Ruth Webber, welcome to Open House.
Thanks for talking to me. I'm really delighted to be able to tell you a little bit about the chaplaincy project.
Ruth, the chaplain has a very special relationship with the prisoners, don't they?
They do. They're the only person in the prison that a prisoner can tell anything to, and provided that it's not illegal or they're not going to harm themselves or others, then the chaplain will keep it completely confidential, and the prisoners know this. So it could be that they're emotionally distressed, it could be they're feeling guilty, often they're feeling very ashamed of what they've done, and they might be worried about their families or their pets or a whole range of things. And they can tell the chaplain, and they know that the chaplain can follow up on some of their concerns.
In your study, you followed relationships with people who had a religious conviction, prisoners, and those who didn't as well. The chaplain deals with lots of people.
That's right. There's absolutely no obligation that they be the same religion as you are, nor do they need to have been particularly religious themselves. In fact, one of the interesting things when you looked at the people who came along to the Catholic religious program, they have a much higher attendance of Catholics in prisons than they do in the normal community, which is kind of really interesting because they might not have been religious at all, or they may have been religious as a child or at least had some connection. But it's really going to a place where they feel safe, where they feel respected, and where they can connect with their maybe early childhood experience, or to have an opportunity to connect with the divine and with people who they know will care for them.
Yes, it's hard to generalise, and it's probably a little unfair to do so, but could you say that they're looking for an intimate, safe relationship in which they can find, maybe rediscover a sense of redemption? Do you think that's what's going on?
Some are. Some clearly are. Some of them come along and they're really hoping to deal with some of the guilt that they feel. Mm. But not everybody. Some of them go along because it's a safe place to go, because they know that there'll be people to talk to there. It's a sense of connecting with something that's totally different from the rest of the prison. I mean, at the most basic level, it's the one place where there's not going to be a prison officer inside the building, that they can feel more normal. And they're meeting with people from the outside who bring life, if you like, back into their environment. But there are certainly those who, connecting with the chaplains or with the volunteers, that it has led to a deeper spiritual experience and a reconnection with God. And I can remember one man telling me how he was very distressed when he went into prison and felt deeply ashamed, and he felt that he'd let his family down, and that he, in fact, was very depressed. And when the chaplain came, she gave him this little tiny card that had a religious picture on one side and a prayer on the other. And that was the only thing he had in his cell. And he looked at it every day and he felt, God still loves me, there is still hope, and I can be a better person. And I think that's what some of them said to me, that they felt that it helped them get in touch with the possibility they could be different. Now, many of the people who go along will reoffend. Some of the people who I met when I went along to the religious programs had been in there several times. But each time, in a way, they were determined not to, but they still came back.
Yes.
But it was really that sense of there is hope. There is forgiveness.
Yes.
And I think that was really important to them.
Yes. Professor Ruth Weber is with us. She's from the Australian Catholic University. And a study on basically the efficacy of the, in this case, Catholic chaplaincy program in Victorian jails. You're suggesting that if there were more chaplains, then the jails themselves could be better places.
Absolutely. And in fact, that was one of the major findings that Corrections Victoria was interested in, which was that the former prisoners and the chaplains and their families said that they believed that it reduced infractions in prisons. Now, infractions are fights and arguments and violence. And the reason, they gave a number of reasons. One reason was that if they're in a religious program and spending time there, firstly, there's less time to get involved in violence. The second is it's a calm place to be.
Yeah.
So when they leave, they're calmer. A third reason was that the prisoners who go along to the religious services get to know each other and they regard them as their friends in a kind of loose sense.
Yes.
And so they look out for each other. And what they told me was, if I see an event about to happen, a violent event, a scuffle, that they try to steer the other person away or to warn them this person is out to get them.
So they become peacemakers, is what you're saying.
They become peacemakers.
Wow.
For each other. And also, I think that the chaplains themselves create a calmer environment.
Mm.
One is, you know, they're not soft touches.
Mm.
They, I know that Sister Mary Shaughnessy, who's in charge of the Catholic Ministry Program, told me that you see all and you're aware of everything that's happening around you. So they know if somebody's telling them a fib, a lie, making
right.
it up. And they also are kind of very firm in their own ability to deal with these situations and to deal with the people. And they're so respected. It's kind of when you go into the prison and have the opportunity, like I did, of wandering around with the chaplains, and the way the prisoners come up to them and chat to them and tell them what's happening and thank them because they've arranged a particular visit. Or whatever. For example, the chaplains will also help them fill out forms because a lot of the prisoners can't, it's very complicated, some of the forms they're required to fill out. They will go to court with them. If a prisoner asks his family member to contact the chaplains will go and visit. They'll explain to them what happens when you go into a jail. And I don't know if you've ever been in one or not, but it's quite confusing.
Hmm.
And also, you're not aware of the process. You're not aware that you're going to leave your keys, your phones, everything behind.
Mm.
What the chaplains will do is they'll tell them the bus route, how to get there. They'll tell them what's going to happen when they're there. And it's quite simple things. Like in some of the prisons, if you're allowed to meet the prisoner in the cafeteria that's inside, and there are some drinks you can buy that are in the spot machines, but you've got to have the exact money. So they tell them really simple things like that.
Yes, isn't it interesting? We build these institutions and then, and yes, they're there for, well, they're there for public safety, amongst other things, but they're there for correction. But my point is that we build institutions of all kinds and then the institution imposes itself on the people that it's there to serve, in a sense, and there's not a lot of thought given in many cases to the interface, the human interface. In this case, people visiting somebody in jail. Now, that's important for a whole bunch of reasons, but if we don't put in place that infrastructure that humanises that interface, then we really lose out. But the chaplain performs that role.
They do, and one of the other roles that the chaplains do is that they will, if a prisoner says that his family are distressed or upset, and the prisoner contacts the family and says, you can contact the chaplain will go and visit them. And the chaplain, for example, will help the family connect to a church that they know will be supportive.
Right. Yes.
Because often there's a lot of isolation.
Oh, yes.
So when the prisoners too come out, not all churches are welcoming. Mm. It's not that they're unwelcoming, but the congregation might be very fearful of being too friendly in case, you know, they're looking after the welfare of their children or
concerns. Yes, I guess there are a lot of complexities there around the type of offence that was committed.
Exactly.
You've mentioned many of the benefits of the chaplaincy program to the mental health, well-being, even the safety and tone within the prison.
Yeah.
Is there any connection then to recidivism rates?
Look, that's an excellent question. That there is a sparsity of research on this. I went through huge amounts of research both overseas, all England, US, Canada, everywhere, and the results are variable. And the problem with it is nobody's testing the same thing. So the answer is there is no results that one could say these are absolutely clear results. Partly the methodologies hasn't really stood up to the test.
Mm.
I mean, I could cite some that have shown it, but their methodology isn't reliable enough.
But would it be right in saying that your gut feel then is that everything has been done within the prison? Because we know that recidivism has a strong correlation with whether you can go into new circles outside of your old group of your old cohort, really, so you don't get back into the life of crime.
That's exactly right. And this gentleman I was talking about with the who got the religious card, he was actually the chaplains actually organised a religious organisation to give him a job when he got out.
Right.
So the actual employment. One of the things the chaplains do also when they're out is the prisoners can contact them, ex-prisoners, any time and ask for their assistance,
wow,
even 5-10 years down the track. So I'm homeless, do you know what I could do? And they will put them in touch,
wow,
with an agency. They will try to put them in touch with a religious organised group that will be sympathetic to a former prisoner and have,
yeah,
enough. And a priest who knows how to deal with it.
Yeah.
So, you think, look, the former prisoners that I spoke to have said, look, I've been back in prison again or I've gone straight. But they know that there's someone at the end of the phone. And I think that is amazing when they're really down. There's someone they can ring who knows the system of who to connect to. So, look, certainly some people don't offend again, and I think that is because they have the work of the chaplains, because they have reconnected with their faith, they've connected to either back to their families or else. One other thing, though, that they do, that the chaplains do is to talk to the families, if they're requested, about their own emotional experience of how do I deal with this. You know, I thought I brought my son or daughter up to be a law-abiding, respectful person, and they've done these terrible things. Should I visit them? Should I cut them off?
Mm.
And I think having a chaplain let them talk about this, because I can't talk to many other people because the sense of shame.
Yes, I understand that. It must take an amazing person to be a prison chaplain.
I think they're amazing. They're such strong people, strong women, and they're so warm. They're so enthusiastic about their job. That's what's, you know. And look, if anybody would like to be a volunteer, I suggest that it's certainly worthwhile, something that you think about, and each of the different denominations would be doing the same kind of thing.
Yes.
They do provide you with training. Yes. You can go and maybe have a visit like I did if you think you something you want to do to see if you could sustain it. But the volunteers said it's a privilege. Some of the volunteers have been doing it for 20 years and they've got day jobs as well. So it's amazing.
Incredible. Well, thank you so much, Ruth, for giving us your time and for opening up the world of prison chaplaincy to us. Thank you for your work.
And thank you for having a program like this.
Yeah, it's our pleasure. That's Australian Catholic University Professor Ruth Webber. She's done that study on chaplaincy and recommends more chaplains. Well, and that's the headline there, but you can hear what wonderful work is done in our prison system to humanise an institution which is, yes, there for punishment and the protection of society, but you would hope in the end we don't lose our humanity. And in particular, if the chaplains can be the interface between those prisoners and their families, then isn't that good for the families? Because they didn't commit the crime, and yet they do the time.
Discover more Open House podcasts at openhousecommunity.com.au.